to Financial Survival. I'm Melody Cederstrom. Friday, July 14th, 2017. I am here with my co-host, am I?
Mm-hmm.
At the desk, to bring you our opinion and commentary on today's economic and political events. And as I said before, it is July 14th, 2017. And the problem, we're a little late, folks, is Skype changed.
Blame Skype.
I am going to blame. They just can't leave things alone. And I didn't realize they changed my screens from yesterday. And so when I went to connect to the to our producer, he didn't exist on my... Anyway, I'm sure you guys don't want to hear that. I'm sure you're all...
Yeah, we do. We want to hear it, Melody. Because it's always fun. You explain this in a way that's clear, everybody gets it, and you evoke great sympathy. Say the poor people on Financial Survival are being overwhelmed by technology. Probably going to be replaced by robots at any moment.
Well, you know, highly unlikely, but anyway.
They can't replace us with robots, Melody, until they have a robot that can make wisecracks. When they do that, we're finished. But as long as the robots can't make wisecracks, we're golden.
Well, I think that's probably a good thing. Anyway, gold today is up 1080 at $1,229 in the New York spot price aftermarket. You have silver up 28 cents, 1605. Platinum was up $18 at $925, and palladium was up $3 at $865. Everything is off the lows of the days and the highs. So, pretty strong day for gold and silver. Put a little pressure on the USDX today. It's down 0.64 at 95.13. Crude oil was up 52 cents at 46.60. Paper markets today, well, they were off their highs, but the Dow was up a new record, up 85 at 21,638. The NASDAQ is up 38 at 6,312. The S&P is up 11 at 24.59. 10-year yield, little pressure, 2.32%, down 0.03. And the euro certainly was took advantage of the weaker dollar. That was up 0.57 at 1.15. Asian and European markets pretty much unchanged, not a lot of action overnight. And the emotion, the fear and greed finally took off. People are happy. People are feeling greedy. That's at 65. Still a low number, but certainly a lot higher than what we've been seeing between the neutral and the fear level. So a couple of reports out today that shows that actually it's the opposite of their good feeling of greed, because they might be feeling greedy, but they're certainly not spending their money. Retail sales unexpectedly dropped for a second month in June. So it shows that they're not spending. The purchases dropped 0.2% after falling 0.1% the prior month. Sales minus car dealers and gas stations fell 0.1% after no change from the month earlier. And retail control group sales, which are used to calculate GDP and exclude the categories of food services, auto dealers, building materials, outlets, and gasoline stations, decreased 0.1%. Sales fell in 6 of 13 major retail categories in June. And again, so another report that shows, you know, hey, if they're making all this money in the stock market, you think that they would be out spending it, but retail does not support.
Well, I think one of the main points there is that the middle class is no longer significantly in the stock market, at least not the extent they were, say, 5 years ago. They've bailed. And the stock market right now is more than anything corporations, I think. Institutions, but the ordinary investor is...
Well, you've got an ordinary investor. You got them in the NASDAQ and so forth. They love those techs and stuff. And you do have people coming into the markets, but you do have, and you're right, there is a lot of industrial investors in the markets, but you still have people in there, and they would still be selling if they felt, you know, some sort of pressure. If you're retirement portfolio, your investment portfolio is doing well, I guarantee you we live in a country where people like to buy things, they would be buying. So then what we would be saying is that there's a large majority of the middle class that don't have retirement accounts. So
I think what it shows is that even if their accounts are doing well, if people aren't buying, it's because people are fearful of the future. People, they're afraid they're going to need the money, and they don't want to spend it right now. That would be my guess.
I think people are waiting for the shoe to drop. I think everyone knows it's ready to drop, and we're just waiting. Something is coming our way, and it's not going to be nice. And I think people, or Larry, they still remember 2008 to some degree. Most of the general populace has very short memories. So, and that's what government.
I remember the 1960s. I remember the 1960s, Melody. Oh. I have kind of a long memory.
Well, it's a short-term memory you have a problem with.
Yeah,
but anyway.
Get older, you know. Short-term is anything less than 10 years. That's
real
money,
memory. Real monthly spending, federal spending topped $400 billion for the first time in June when the Treasury spent a record of $428 billion. This was according to the monthly Treasury statement that was released today. Prior to June, the record for federal spending in a single month was held by March 2017, where the Treasury spent $392 billion. And the Treasury was spending a record $428 billion in June. It was taking in approximately $338 billion in taxes, thus running a deficit for the month of $90 billion. But of course, because of the way the month ends, you're going to hear people say, well, it would have been $40 billion less than that $90 billion. Well, you know what? It's all relative to each month and how it's reported. It all balances out. So again, the whole point is there's a heck of a lot of spending going on in Washington. The dramatic increase in spending from last June to this June was driven by increases in spending by the Departments of Education, Housing and Urban Development, and Health and Human Services. In June of 2016, the Department of Education spent $12 billion, and by that point in fiscal 2016, it had spent $59 billion. I mean, I thought the Department of Education was supposed to be cutting back.
Somebody needs to teach them how to add and subtract, though. We're going to have to send them all to a foreign school so they can learn how to add and subtract and get an accurate number on their budget. Until that, it's all up for grabs, Melody.
So the point is, Al, federal government is continuing to spend, deficits continue to increase, and what is getting better?
Here's something from the Associated Press, and the Congressional Budget Office says Trump's budget doesn't balance federal ledger. All right, that's the headline. A new government analysis of President Donald Trump's budget plan says it wouldn't come close to balancing the federal ledger like the White House has promised. Now, the language here gets a little confusing to me, or at least the mathematics does, but we'll get to a point here that we can understand. Thursday's Congressional Budget Office said that Trump's budget, if followed to the letter, would result in a $720 billion deficit at the end of 10 years instead of a surplus promised. That doesn't make sense to me. All right, I think that's wrong. Only a $720 billion deficit at the end of 10 years? That's close enough to balancing the budget. I don't see any problem with that. I think the numbers are wrong here. It says the Congressional Budget Office said Trump's budget would reduce the deficit by a total of $3.3 trillion over 10 years instead of the $5.6 trillion deficit cut promised by the White House. The nonpartisan scorekeeper estimated that deficits in each of the coming 10 years would exceed $585 billion in each year. You get that? In red ink that was posted last year. The point here is I've written about this a little bit, and I believe I've talked about it on the radio program. I don't think they dare to balance the budget because we are in a debt-based monetary system. They have to create more debt. Debt has become our our form of wealth. Debt is our measure of wealth. You want a more prosperous country? Got to have more debt in a debt-based monetary system. It's crazy. It's irrational. It's insane. But nevertheless, that's what seems to be happening. And I've written before that I expect Trump will be forced to at least match Obama in terms of deficits created during his administration. He can't balance the budget without collapsing the economy. They must create more debt and debt instruments that banks can use as collateral to lend money under fractional reserve banking to the public. There's got to be more debt, and that's my point here. Mm-hmm. And in Melody, you were talking about, you know, they're just creating more debt. Yeah, but they have to. I believe they have to. And I could be mistaken about that, but I am increasingly confident that in a debt-based monetary system, somebody's got to create more debt. If we don't create more debt, if we don't borrow more money, then the government has to borrow more money. But somebody's got to borrow more money to create more debt instruments to fuel our debt-based monetary and economic system. And this is just support. Well, maybe I'm right. Who knows?
Well, when we're in a consumer-based economy, if the consumers aren't spending, government has to spend. Somebody has to spend.
It's not just that you have to spend. You don't have any money.
I get that.
You got to borrow.
Been creating these debt programs ever since the recessions of 87. You know, they've been creating all these various programs so they can funnel the money into Wall Street and create the money, and the bankers continue to get wealthier and wealthier. The multinational corporations, nothing was done for the people. You know, every time we go into recession, they create new programs.
For the people is create more debt for the people to assume later on.
Get that.
It's like growing the deficit. We're going to leave them for our kids and our grandkids. They will be able to remember us. Oh, look what mom left me, a debt. And dad, thanks a lot. You left me a debt that I'll never be able to repay. I really appreciate that, daddy. That's what the kids will have to remember us by.
U.S. President Donald Trump promised to crack down on dumping of cheap steel by foreign competitors, adding that he's considering imposing new tariffs or quotas on, you know, on imports. Steel is a big problem. Steel is. I mean, they're dumping steel, not only China, but others, Trump told reporters. We're like a dumping ground, okay? They're dumping steel and destroying our steel industry. They've already destroyed our steel industry. They're not just doing it. They've done it. And they've been doing it for decades, which he is correct. And I'm stopping it. It'll stop. He says there's two ways the U.S. can stop dumping. He says tariffs or quotas on steel imports. Well, we already have tariffs. Last year or the year before, they were increased by 500%. I mean, so they are still hefty. But if you remember, Trump had ordered the Commerce Department earlier this year to probe steel imports to see if there's any evidence of national security threat from foreign shipments. If they find, or if they claim or confirm that there is a security threat from these shipments, then Mr. Trump can place tariffs
and perhaps quotas besides.
Quotas, but without Congress.
Mm-hmm.
If it's considered to be a threat, then he can go ahead and do it without going through Congress. I guess it would be in an executive order.
The foundation for this potential threat is the whole idea of global free trade. Right? If we made our own steel, if we didn't buy steel overseas, if there wasn't global trade to a significant degree, they couldn't dump enough steel in this country to threaten whatever remains of our steel industry. Make your own steel. You understand? Instead, we've got corporations that say, forget that. We don't need to employ American workers making steel. We can get cheap steel from China. It's great. We can make a big profit. To hell with your profit. Make your own steel. Make it within the boundaries of the states of the union. All right? Yeah, it might cost a little more, but it will keep people working. It will make the economy stronger. When we say we will import cheap products from overseas, we can enhance our profits by importing, we are crippling this nation. And they sense that in what they're saying. Oh, my gosh, it could provide some sort of a national security threat. Right? They get that. They won't admit it, but the foundation for it is global free trade. Stop it! Make your own steel! Right? If you're going to import it, you're going to kill your steel industry. And after you get done with that, import your cars because they'll be cheaper and the dealers will be able to make money by selling cars cheaper. Great, but you're going to lose your automobile industry. And it's going to continue until everyone in this country is hoping to get an Uber job pulling a rickshaw. You won't be driving your car. You'll be driving a rickshaw thanks to global free trade. Because there will always be some country that can produce something cheaper than what you can. And if your corporation's imported into your country, what you do is you not only get cheaper products, you get less jobs, less income, lower wages. Whole thing blows up. I mean, it's just dangerous. And they're getting a sense of it with steel. And when they talk about quotas, what they're talking about is restricting global free trade. They talk about tariffs, restricting global free trade. They're not saying those words, or at least not in the report you read, but that's what it comes down to. They recognize that our industries are threatened by global free trade. Want to preserve them? Shut the door!
But what's interesting is everyone thinks China is the biggest exporter of steel to the U.S., but it isn't. It's number 12. Canada exports more steel to the U.S. than China.
Well, then we'll have to build another wall.
We'll get cheap steel from Canada
and build a wall.
It's interesting to see how everybody uses China as the example, thinking that they're the biggest and the cheapest, but yet Canada exports more steel to the U.S. than China. So kind of interesting.
Well, like I'm saying, the solution to the problem is make your own.
Oh, I guess
it isn't a question of who imports the most, where the most imports come from. The question is, why do we have to rely on imports? I don't think it's a good thing. In the end, I think it's a bad thing. We are better off, even if it causes certain dislocations, you can't get things as cheap as you want to. I think it'll help keep more people employed. A couple of commercials. Melody and I will be right back. Please stay tuned to Financial Survival.
Since the beginning of the United States, kings have sought it, nations have fought for it. It has been traded, borrowed, purchased, and stolen. There is a reason for it. To secure the blessings of liberty to ourselves and our posterity, invest with the security of gold and silver. Call Discount Gold and Silver Trading at 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. Listen to Financial Survival with your host, Melody Cederstrom, on Shortwave Radio. Visit DiscountGoldAndSilverTrading.net or call 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. For the very best in gold and silver trading, call toll-free 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. Call now.
Melody Cederstrom and CSE Talk Radio team up as Common Sense Voices of Integrity. I personally endorse Melody Cederstrom to be your trusted go-to expert for all your precious metal needs. Experts agree a financial crisis and even collapse is inevitable. Given our government's lack of economic leadership and self-interests of those in power, it's no longer a question of if you should purchase gold and silver, but if you will purchase gold and silver before it's too late. Melody encourages you to tune in each weekday morning. Visit CSETalkRadio.com. We both agree truth and education are the two significant factors in both our missions. There is a wealth of misinformation out there. Let Melody and Beth Ann help you sort through the chaos and bring you home to the truths that will ensure that you and your family are protected. Call Discount Gold and Silver Trading 1-800-375-4188 or online at dgscoins.com. Melody and Beth Ann are strong forces together working to preserve liberty and bring America home.
Talking away, I don't know what to say or say.
folks. I'm Alfred Adisk, and this is Financial Survival, brought to you by Discount Gold and Silver. I'm here with Melody Cederstrom, of course, and I guess here's something from Constitution.com. The headline is, Trump's got big border wall news. Congress has finally allocated every single dollar of the $1.6 billion that President Trump requested to begin building the wall across our southern border. This doesn't mean that the fight for the wall or the money is over, but it does mean that the task has cleared its most important hurdle. Democrats will now step in and attempt every trick in the book to obfuscate, delay, and scuttle the border wall plans. So it's incumbent on congressional Republicans to defend the president's efforts. The border wall was the central issue around which President Trump's entire campaign was built. This wall is likely the single biggest reason President Trump was elected. If members of the Republican Party are seen as blocking the wall from being built, they will be risking their own political lives. Even the Democrats, the article also points out that even the Democrats, if they're seen to obstruct this wall, some of them are going to be taking some political risks. So we'll watch and see, but at least it appears that the wall, the Great Wall of Trump, has received enough funding to get started. All right. So, hooray. Something's happening. Those of you who were hoping to see the wall in your lifetime, well, you just might do that. What else, Melody?
I just saw a brief article today about Amazon. They get over a dollar. They get subsidized by the government with their shipping. For every package that they send out, they get over a buck. And it's like, you know, the government doesn't pay me a dollar for every package I send out. I mean, yeah, I don't know. I just find it interesting.
Well, I know. It's bizarre. It's bizarre because it's on top of everything else, it's helping to put retail stores out of business. Yeah. It's got to be infuriating, people that are running the, you know, brick and mortar stores. They're not enough that they compete against Amazon. Amazon is being subsidized by the government. I don't know. You know, what is the reason for that? What is the rationale? I have no idea.
It's just a, you know, sign of the times. They're not going to do anything for, you know, the people. I mean, it's all for, all about them, the multinationals. JP Morgan just had the most profitable year in the history of banking. And yet little Jamie Dimon's complaining in an interview about how bored he is, and, you know, Washington is a mess and they just need to pass all these deregulations for the banks so, you know, they can do more. And it's just,
I think the banks should be able to go out on the street
in the history of banking.
Take a gun out on the street and rob people and shoot them if necessary, but steal their wallet and their money, and they shouldn't be subject to being jailed. Bankers are special. You can trust them, Melody. They know how to handle money, especially somebody else's. I don't know. The whole thing is just nuts.
It is.
And, yeah, it's bizarre. But here's something that's interesting. This is a video that was reported by Gains, Pains, and Capital that was quoting Chicago Mercantile Exchange Chairman Patrick Duffy. Now, this video goes back to 2013, so it's several years old, but nevertheless, it's surprising to me that I'm just now hearing about this. But at this point in time, when he was interviewed, again, he was the chairman of the Chicago Mercantile Exchange. This is a big thing. This is big. He said, among other things in this video, that the Fed has caused frustration and confusion in the marketplace. He said, if you adjust for inflation, you should have gold somewhere around $2,000 or $3,000 an ounce, and that was back around 2013. Lots of us are so jaded about what's going on in the world, it is like yesterday's newspaper in 5 minutes. He's saying that if people were really paying attention, he goes on and he actually says, if you look at what's going on in the world, gold should probably be $5,000 to $6,000 per ounce. Again, in 2013. Right? a lot of us are, and one day you will not be able to dismiss the news, and you will see a huge move in the precious metals, gold coins. And he says gold coins are probably more more valuable than anything else. And again, this is Chicago Mercantile Exchange President Duffy on Bloomberg in 2013, according to this report. Now, here's another one from Goldcore that was just released in the last couple of days. And the headline here is, they don't want certificates. They want the real product. And this is from Chicago Mercantile Exchange President Duffy again, speaking on gold. It says, the CME Group, that's the Chicago Mercantile Exchange, is the world's largest futures exchange company. In a remarkably candid interview, the president and executive chairman of the Chicago Mercantile Exchange, Terrence Duffy, I said Patrick before, but it's Terrence apparently, told Bloomberg TV that gold buyers don't want certificates. They want the real product. He's seeing evidence that the buyers are beginning to shift, or they don't want paper gold, which we harp against on a regular basis, for occasionally at least on this program. He's saying gold buyers don't want the paper gold. They want the real product. They want the actual physical gold. When asked about gold, Duffy said, what's interesting about gold, when we had that big break 2 weeks ago when we saw all the gold stocks trade down significantly, we saw the gold products trade down significantly, but one thing that did not trade down was gold coins, tangible and real gold. That's going to show you that people don't want certificates. They don't want paper gold. He didn't say paper gold, but that's what he means by certificates. They want the real product. I think that is the value of gold. And he goes on, he says, whether you're going to own mining stocks or anything else, I think the coins are probably the more value than anything else. All right? Interesting. And this is coming from a guy who should be on the inside and part of the efforts to suppress the price of gold. And he's saying, look, these coins are probably the best deal, probably your best deal, probably better than gold stocks. Right? And probably better than just about anything else. He goes on, he says, slowly but surely, gold coins and bars value as safe haven assets, unlike gold futures and other paper and digital forms of gold, are being realized. Slowly but surely, all paper forms of gold, particularly leveraged ones, should be avoided due to counterparty and systemic risk. And he goes on and he points out that in Australia, consumers were queuing up in lines half a kilometer long to purchase gold coins. In China, jewelry stores, and India, jewelry stores had their stock depleted in a day, according to the World Gold Council. Heightened demand brings premiums that investors are paying to have precious metals in their hands, and it means the price of gold and silver is going up, not just on the bullion basis, but on the basis of premiums paid in addition to the bullion. In India, they are now paying five times the amount of premiums that they paid before the price drop in April. Singapore and Hong Kong consumers are paying nearly $3 an ounce. In U.S., the Arizona Senate passed legislation to make gold and silver acceptable as currency, and it now goes to the governor for approval. This is a further step as citizens to a further step by citizens to protect themselves against the lack of control and collusion in the current international monetary system. So this is just fascinating article to me. Here we have the president of the Chicago Mercantile Exchange essentially saying the same thing we've been saying on the program for years. And the fact that he's making these statements, you know, this is somebody you got to listen to. This guy ought to know what he's talking about. And it's more evidence that the time is right to be buying however much gold and silver you can afford. Melody?
Yes. Uh-huh. Good report. Yes. Good uh-huh. report, Al. Uh-huh.
Mm-hmm. You were bye-bye, Melody. I'm out here reporting. I'm reporting my little fingers to the bone. And you were bye-bye for a moment or two there. Any case, I was impressed. He said, whether you're going over to own mining stocks or anything else, I think the coins are probably of more value than anything else. That's fascinating to me. Right? Chicago Mercantile Exchange is recommending coins.
Well, I think too, there's a lot of different papers. I know that you can get certificates for the Perth Mint and so forth. And yes, owning the real thing is what's going to be important. Yep. If you don't have that gold in your hand, you don't own it. You can have all the paper you want. You can have all the stocks you want. You can have all the certificates you want. But if you don't have that gold in your hand, you don't own it. They do.
What we're talking about, finally, is if you hold a piece of paper, and I don't care what it is, if it's a stock, it's a bond, it's a bank account book, it's a pension fund document, if you have a piece of paper, you do not have a payment. You have only a promise to pay. Everything on paper is just a promise to pay. And you have to ask yourself if you want to be paid or if you would rather have a promise to pay or a payment. If you want a payment, get something tangible like gold and silver. If you're content with promises to pay in a world where most of the promises can't be kept, then you are taking great risk. It may be that your particular promise to pay will work out and you'll get all that was promised. But for most people, a day is coming when most of the promises... That's what debts are, promises to pay. Most of those pieces of paper are just debt instruments. They're just promises to pay. Say, look, I'm a rich guy. I got a piece of paper here that says I have $250,000 or $500,000 or whatever. No, you are a rich guy if you've got something tangible in hand. If you got a piece of paper, you have nothing but a promise to pay. And
well, it's the same thing as if you buy certificates from the Perth Mint and so forth. They supposedly store the product for you. And no. It goes to the same with the storage of your gold and silver overseas. I'm working with some folks right now. They've had their, I think it's in Shanghai that they have their product. It's like, well, how is that helping you? Well, we don't have any place to store it. Well, find a place. Do some research.
Find a place, make a place.
Area. Do some, you know, I'll guarantee you, I would rather have a safety deposit box at a bank with my gold than to have it in Shanghai, because I know I can go down there and take it out whenever I want.
Yeah, that's a theory, though. I mean, the truth of the matter is, ultimately, you are in jeopardy if you've got a piece of paper that says you can go into this safety deposit box.
Well, I get that, Al. My point was, it's safer to have it in a safety deposit box than it is to have it in Shanghai. Is a safety deposit box my first choice? No, it isn't. There's issues. There's risk. And what people don't understand, and so oftentimes risks are misrepresented. And people don't have the real facts. Do you know how many times people come to me and think that if they make a purchase over $10,000 that it's going to be reported? Well, where is that written? Show me the details. Well, that's what so-and-so said. Well, they're wrong. There's so much misinformation when it comes to the gold and silver market, and it just baffles me how you have an industry and particularly in our venue, and maybe it's all venues, even those that advertise on television. I mean, I hear some of these things. Promoting that with an IRA, you can take delivery of your physical product and still have an IRA. It hasn't even been tested with the IRS. It hasn't even been tested with the IRS yet. Why would you want to do that? There's over 5,000 dealers in this country, and you have one or two dealers that are promoting that if you open up an IRA, you can take physical delivery of your product. Wouldn't that concern you if there's only two dealers out of 5,000 that actually suggest this and recommend that, and there's disclaimers? You know, their contract to you, the majority of the papers that you have to sign are disclaimers that they're not going to be there if you're audited by the IRS. They're not going to be there if you have to hire an attorney to fight the IRS. It's just unbelievable. But yet I get umpteen calls a day about people wanting to take physical delivery and open up an IRA. I wouldn't touch that with a 10-foot pole. Now, can I say that's a scam? I can't say it's a scam. Would I want my IRA to be tested by the IRS? Absolutely not. But those who do that, you know, you have to be well-versed and well-funded in order to fight the IRS and to prove that you have something that is acceptable by the government standards to own an IRA with precious metals, because that dealer that's selling you that account ain't going to be around. And I mean, and it's just, and I don't understand why the gold and silver industry is so open to such false claims and such false advertisements and such scams. It baffles me why this industry is so ripe for the picking. And I hear it every day. You know, just like one of our, someone called me, said, "Melody, I never thought I could be scammed. I thought myself to be intelligent. I read, I understand what goes on. I never thought I would be scammed by a gold dealer. And I was. Silver has to go to $50 before I break even. That's a scam."
Yeah, that's a scam.
So, I mean, it baffles me why this industry, and yet this is the most important industry, the most important product that anyone could ever own in their lifetime, when we're dealing with the system that we're dealing with and the government that we're dealing with. It's just, it's frustrating.
Again, we've got the guy from Chicago Mercantile Exchange, president, saying, "Look, coins are the way to go." And he doesn't even sell them, right?
Well,
I would guess that he is part of the gold suppression scheme, and yet he's saying, "Look, coins are the way to go." And he's also implying, he didn't say what he thought the price in the most recent interview, he didn't say what he thought the price should be, but if he thought it should be $5,000 or $6,000 several years ago, it stands to reason that he would think it was even higher than that today. And as I've said for a couple of weeks, no, 2 weeks maybe on the program, week anyway, maybe two, you have an opportunity to purchase physical gold at paper gold prices, right? This is something that is phenomenal. This is an extraordinary opportunity. You will never see anything like this again. A couple of years.
It's not about just buying so low, which is important. It's about protecting your purchasing power, because if you don't, you're going to lose.
We're going to take a couple commercials, and Melody and I will be right back. Please stay tuned to Financial Survival. Would you tell me again?
Food prices have increased over 40%. Energy prices have increased over 20%. Wheat and gas prices have increased over 70%. What's going to be next? Do you see these trends reversing or even stabilizing? All fiat currencies have always failed and collapsed their economies on their way down. The Roman Empire, China, France, Argentina, Finland, Mexico, Russia, Zimbabwe all tried fiat currency and all collapsed into chaos. Meanwhile, the dollar has lost over 97% of its gold value since 1971, when an ounce of gold was valued at $35. If your assets are in paper, you are in danger. Protect your assets with gold and silver. Visit Discount Gold and Silver Trading at DGScoins.com. That's DGScoins.com, or call 1-800-375-4188. That's 800-375-4188. Protect yourself and your family.
We all know that Berkey Water Purification Systems are the most trusted name in water filtration. As an authorized Berkey dealer for over 6 years and serving thousands of satisfied customers, the Berkey Guy offers amazing specials for Berkey Water Filtration Systems. The Berkey Light Systems include a set of self-sterilizing and recleanable black purification elements that purify water by removing chlorine, pathogenic bacteria, cysts, and parasites to non-detectable levels and remove harmful chemicals such as herbicides and pesticides. Order the Berkey Light System today, complete with two black Berkey elements for only $231, and the Berkey Guy will ship your order free of charge. With the purchase of a Berkey Light, the Berkey Guy is also offering a set of fluoride and arsenic filters for only $39.99. That's over 30% off the retail price. Call the Berkey Guy at 1-877-886-3653. That's 1-877-886-3653. Or order online at GoBerkey.com. That's GoBerkey.com today.
Ladies and gentlemen, I'm Alfred Addisk here with Melody Cederstrom on Financial Survival, brought to you by Discount Gold and Silver. We've got a caller, Lance, in Texas. Hello, Lance. Hello, Lance.
Hey, Al. Hey, Mel.
Hi, Lance.
How you
doing?
Love you all to death. Listen to you every day.
Thank you.
Al, look, man, according to Dr. Edwin Vieira Jr.'s seminal work, Pieces of Eight, Monetary History of the United States, two volumes set, I highly recommend it. Our constitutional money is called specie legally.
Yep.
Okay, here's the deal with fiat currency and why it's a Ponzi scheme. They create money out of thin air at interest, but never create the interest, i.e. they create $100 out of thin air at 1% interest, but they don't create $101. So it will always be that you will be in debt servitude. It's just the way the system is designed. It's a Ponzi scheme, brother.
No, it is. It's absolutely a Ponzi scheme. And you know where it gets even worse than what you're saying? The failure to create
Fractional
the interest is
banking,
a signal. But here's the problem. Again, I've talked about this on the radio program, written on it a time or two. If I go to your store to buy a $1,000 flat screen TV and I give you a check, you're not paid until you take that check, deposit it in your account, your bank takes it from your account and sends it over to my bank. My bank checks my account and deducts $1,000 out of my bank account, takes it back to my bank, takes it to your bank, takes it to your account, and then you're paid. Now, the important point here is you are paid. No, wait, hang on for a second. The important point is you are paid out of my account. When the federal government issues these Federal Reserve notes in order to pay people for working for the federal government or pay people who are selling guns, bombs, typewriters, we don't even use typewriters anymore, I suppose, but computers to the federal government, whatever, they're being paid in Federal Reserve notes. They can't redeem those Federal Reserve notes back against the government itself. They are irredeemable. How do they redeem them? They redeem them. They go to your house or they go to my house and they get one of us to buy.
One at a time.
They go back to the public. We are redeeming the government's notes. It's not just a question of, oh my gosh, we don't have the interest rate. We make good on the government's notes. They issue these. That they don't have to be responsible for redeeming their own notes. We are.
No, they don't. And this is why this is why I say society is collectively insane. They don't understand their fiat money currency system. It says right at the top, a Federal Reserve note. Note is another word for debt. Okay? You're debt slaves. I'm not a debt slave. I don't owe anybody anything except my creator, my children, and my mom and my pop.
Well, I understand.
You know what I'm saying?
Yep.
But it's a difficult achievement.
And I love you guys. And keep up the good work. I'll let somebody else go and talk. Cheers. Keep it up.
Thank you, Lance.
Thanks for your call.
God bless.
We were talking earlier about the president of the Chicago Mercantile Exchange recommending gold coins. We've got another competitor for gold, and that is Bitcoin. And here's an article from Cointelegraph, which is a Bitcoin and cryptocurrency advocate. They're pushing. They are cheerleading. Yay, yay, cryptocurrencies. But here's the headline in the magazine. Retailers turn their backs on booming Bitcoin. All right? Bitcoin's uptake with popular and leading online retailers has been slow, but since its rapid surge in value and interest recently, it has regressed. Bitcoin increased by the value, the price of Bitcoin increased by 100% in the month of June. May or June, I don't remember which one for sure, but I think it was June. Increased by 100% in the month of June. Doubled. All right? There is fever. We have Bitcoin fever. But they're saying that the online retailers are actually using less Bitcoin in the midst of our Bitcoin fever. They say fewer rather than more retailers are accepting Bitcoin as a form of payment. Last year, retailers in the world's top 500 biggest online stores were accepting Bitcoin, according to publication Internet Retailer. Five of the top 500. Today, however, it has emerged that the figure is now down to just three out of the top 500. Where is the growth? It's a perplexing discrepancy in the growth of Bitcoin to its acceptance by online merchants, as noted by Morgan Stanley payment analyst James Fassett. He believes that Bitcoin's growth in value is actually a contributing factor to its decline as a functional currency. And he's exactly right, because the price is changing so fast on Bitcoin that it's no longer reliable. If you're going to use something as money, you want it to be worth as much tomorrow and a month from now as it is today. Bitcoin is so volatile that it has doubled in 1 month. I'm sure that retailers are looking at it and they say, well, that's cool. You can pay me in Bitcoin, and if it doubles again in the next month, I'm going to get rich off the deal. But they're also sitting back. If I take those Bitcoins, and Bitcoin is so volatile, all right, that it can double in price, it can also halve, go to half price in a month's time. And the retailer who's taken the Bitcoin may suffer a significant loss. So the point is, the currency's value has to be fairly steady. We can have inflation, for example, as long as it's not too fast. You can get as much with a dollar today, pretty much as much a month from now, even a year from now, as you could get today. As long as the inflation doesn't get too serious, we are willing to use the paper dollars. We need something that has relatively stable value to be currency. And they're pointing out what they're arguing here and pointing out is that Bitcoin does not have stable value. It is a wonderful item for speculators. If you want to bet on it, yeah. If you want to invest in it as a store of value, it is probably not so good, because if it's volatile going up spectacularly, it will also be volatile going down spectacularly. And the point of this article is that retailers recognize that possible downturn, and at least it makes them nervous and they don't necessarily want to do business with it. So it's another one of these things where the stability isn't there. Bitcoin is, for the moment, as long as it's volatile in price, it won't really be a currency. It can be a speculative investment, a highly speculative bet, all right, but it won't be a currency. If it ever does stabilize, however, what happens then? People will dump it. People will get rid of it, and the price will probably fall. Bitcoin is caught in a trajectory like a skyrocket. It must keep going up. It's like a shark in the water. It's got to keep swimming to keep getting oxygen on into its gills. If it stops swimming, it dies. I think Bitcoin is much the same. If Bitcoin ever stabilizes to the point where it could really be used as money, at that point in time, its value won't be increasing dramatically on a regular basis, and people will lose interest in Bitcoin. They say, all right, let's sell it, and everybody starts selling at the same time, and the price of Bitcoin will fall through the floor. So we've got someone, president of the Chicago Mercantile Exchange, saying, look, you need gold coins. All right, you want to preserve your capital, you need gold coins. And we've got another article here from Cointelegraph, which advocates cryptocurrencies as a cheerleader for Bitcoin, admitting, wait, there's also a problem with Bitcoin. Again, this, you know, if you've got something, you want to get out of paper and you want to get into something, the evidence from my perspective is that you want to get into some gold, you want to get into some silver.
I'll tell you what, if gold, the declines that we've seen in Bitcoin of late and some of the other cryptos, I mean, they've just been hammered since they reached their highs about a month ago. Sure. And
that's what people are afraid of.
Yeah, well, they should be. It's nothing.
It's going up like a skyrocket. There's a good chance it'll come down like a skyrocket.
Yeah. And I don't believe it's something that recovers or finds, you know, it's got a longer way to go before it finds a bottom and so forth. But just think, if you have real gold and you buy it and you put it away, you don't have to worry about, I mean, gold has so little downside risk at this point in time. I mean, it's probably the most incredible buy there is
in
the
world of
investments today.
I got an article here from Martin Armstrong of Armstrong Economics, and the headline is, "Don't assume any government pension will ever be paid." He says, "The country's pension deficit is more widespread than most people suppose. Under no circumstances assume that the government pension will actually be paid. Even government pensions in states now considered economically sound are vulnerable to failure. Illinois isn't the only state having pension problems. Government pension systems have drug a number of states into a fiscal insolvency, pulling municipalities down with them. For example, on Tuesday, Standard & Poor's global rating downgraded Hartford, Connecticut's credit rating to junk. The city teeters on the edge of bankruptcy. According to Forbes magazine, with Connecticut pension obligations already consuming half of their state budget. All right. However much money they take in Connecticut, half of it is going to, I'm talking about state sales taxes and whatever other taxes and fees are imposed on the people of Connecticut, half of the state taxes are going to feed pensions, and they're still behind. Between 2001 and 2015, state and local governments contributed, and this is on a national basis, only about 88% of the required contributions. They're down 12% plus interest over the course of the last 14 years. Well, over the course of 14 years, not the last 14. 2001 to 2015. According to Pew Charitable Trusts, state public pension plans are underfunded by $1.1 trillion. Worse, the actual funding shortfalls are possibly greater. Pension deficit problems loom on the horizon even in states like Florida and Texas. The problem is nationwide and constitutes a sovereign debt crisis that is inevitable and irreversible due to demographics. States established pension funds based on the assumption there would always be an ever-growing mass of taxpayers to squeeze for money. Thus, from their inception, pension systems have been Ponzi schemes that were based on and depended on growing populations. Unfortunately, population growth has declined. As a result, governments and pension plans are running out of other people's money. This will be a major problem for millions of Americans who are counting on their pensions for their retirement. But it's even worse since state pension deficits are dragging entire state budgets toward insolvency and bankruptcy. In other words, it's not just a matter of maybe I'm not going to get my pension. It's a matter of maybe the fact that the pension system is collapsing is going to be enough to drag the whole state government down the pipe. Right, and it won't merely be a situation where I don't get my pension. It'll be a situation where the state government is badly impaired. The impending collapse in the country's pension systems is not only turning many Americans' retirement dreams into nightmares. It's jeopardizing the country's economic stability. These pension funds. What are we going to do? What's going to happen to the senior citizens who want to retire and they think they've got a pension coming and it turns out that they don't? What will that do to the nation's economic stability? It's not just a situation, oh, gee, Grandpa doesn't have any money. It's a situation that millions of grandpas and millions of grandmas aren't going to have the money they thought they were going to have, and they're going to need some money in order to eat and get medical care and whatever, and who's going to provide it, and how are they going to get it out of the average taxpayer if the economy's already weakened? Will some Americans collect some or all of their expected pensions? Yes, but the majority may not. The trust of millions who assume that their pensions will be paid will be tragically betrayed in the foreseeable future. This is just another one of those reports. Another one, you know, it's not necessarily prophecy, but it's another one of those reports that indicates that we are headed for some significant trouble. This is not going to be easily resolved. And when I say it's not going to be easily resolved, I mean it's not going to be easily resolved by our savior, the government. All right? Government's out, they're out of corn cobs. They don't have the resources to really address this problem if it gets as bad as it appears likely to happen. Which tells us what? Not talking about salvation from the good Lord. I'm talking about just earthly, secular. If there's going to be a resolution, who's responsible for solving your problem? It will be you. All right? The government won't have enough money to help you. That means you got to get ready. You got to get prepared. You got to do something. We're out of time. I want to thank all of you for listening. I hope some of you give Melody a call, 1-800-375-4188. We'll be back on Monday. In the meantime, the good Lord bless you, me, Melody, and Todd, the producer. Bye-bye.
I work all night, I work all day to pay the bills I have to pay. Ain't it sad? And still there never seems to be a single penny left for me. That's too bad. In my dreams, I have a plan. If I got me